we're holding at page 387 on the bottom. Speaking about Klal Yisrael, this is the Sfarnu here. We've seen some parts of the Sfarnu about the difference between Goyim and Jews and so on. He spoke about the Inyan, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is Tov, and even if it's Umas HaOlam, it's only a question of Madregas, the person who is good and a Tzaddik is a Tzaddik. Klal Yisrael has more chances, more abilities, and so on. Now he's going to add another point about Klal Yisrael, how they're unique. The Goy Kodesh. Goy Kodesh means built in Ifsadim. When we say that, the Sfarim is trying to explain the Pasuk. It says, V'atinti umechaz karim v'goy kodesh. What does it mean, a holy and a sacred nation? So he says, built in Ifsadim, never to become destroyed. Avotiyu kayomim la'ad be'ish. You're always going to exist as a people. K'moyshe inyan lasid lover, as it will be in the future. Ka'omrei v'oya anisha b'tziyam lois v'shlayim kodesh amalei. So he works around the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, whoever is left in Tzion and in Yerushalayim will be called Kodesh. V'omru Chazal, and Chazal said, Ma Kodesh lo'olam kayam, af hein lo'olam kayamim. Just like Kedusha lasts forever, so do the day last. V'zeh, ki omnam hoise kavona sakel yisrof matan Torah losem oskola toiva asid. Actually, at Matan Torah, they were meant to get all that was good. Luli yishchisa darkom be'egel, if they would not have lost it out at the egel. So really, they were supposed to be already in a state of eternity, and that stopped and so on. I want to explain a point here. We take a look and we see that Adam HaRishon was supposed to live forever until he did the Avera. Two, as Sfarnu says, Obey Klaius of Mount Toro is supposed to be forever. Three, the Rambam, when he speaks about Gan Eden, the Rambam says Olam Haba is the Metzias that has no end to it. It's eternal, and it's the good with no bad. So the Rambam actually says that it's eternal before he says that it's good, which really, really is strange. Because if someone were to tell me, I have a great job for you, what is it? I don't know. It's to be head of this corporation, and it's a lifetime guarantee. So that's a fantastic, fantastic job. But let's say I tell somebody, I have a great job for you, and it's guaranteed for life. Do you want it? Well, I would ask, what exactly is the job? If it's mopping the floors, I'm not sure I would like it guaranteed forever, and I would sort of pass up on the tenure part of it. So what are we doing when we start to say Olam Haba is a place that's eternal and it's very, very good? So the point of being eternal is not a measure of how much good. For instance, if I'll tell you, you know, I'll give you $1 or an infinite amount of dollars, I'm really saying sort of an amount. How many times $1 is nice, 10 times $1 is nicer, 1,000 times $1 is still nicer, and so on. So infinite amount of dollars is a nice amount. We're talking about a very, very different quality. The things in the world are divided between the things that have real existence, and those things are Shayat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists forever. So those elements, those points that can be identified as being divine or godly are eternal, and that means they're real, because at the end of the day, something that comes and goes is not meaningful. It came, I enjoyed it, I suffered from it, and it went. So in the real picture, that doesn't count. The things that are real and exist in a real way are the things that never stop existing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and anything associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we speak, when the Sfarim tell us about Lasid Lavo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shech the Yitzhahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will slaughter the Yitzhahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets rid of it. So all of that means, Ramchal says, that the distinguishing feature between the good and the bad is the good lasts forever, the beard comes to an end at some point. It's not real Metzius. So nations of the world that came and went, they don't have a real Metzius. Klal Yisrael is Goy Kodesh, means they are associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if they are associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they last because they're real. Anything that's the toiv of the Torah, all of the ideals and concepts of the Torah last forever because they are real. They're real Metzius. Okay. Now he says, the Ram says, the next one is going on the Pasuk, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Hine Anoche Bo Alecha Ba'av Ha'anan. I'm going to appear to you in the thickness of a cloud. Ba'vo Yishman B'dabi Imach. Avli says, Ata Chadis Zeh, the Ram says, Masha Ola B'dayti. I am going to tell you something that I thought about. V'hu. Sh'anu Royim She'gam B'dvarim Ha'chumriyim Ha'gasim. Himshech Hashem Shoch Mosei Sidurim U'mutsuim V'drogas Rabbis. Kidei sheisiyasha kol besidu mitukan miskarev miktsosei el ktsosei. We see that things exist at many levels, going from the most fine to the thickest and coarsest. Let's take a very simple example. We have the parts that make up an atom, the quarks, etc., and then you have electrons and so on. These are all example of these basic particles. Then you have an atom, and then it's a molecule, and then you have a layer of the matter, and so on and so forth. So the world has a hierarchy of going from the refined and the thin to the thick, coarse, substantial stuff. You can't tie something very fine to something very thick. You can't take silk and tie it to concrete. You can tie it down to something a little less refined than it. So things need to have, in order for them to bond, they have to bond with things that are similar enough to them, even though there are some differences. And if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did when you're talking about variations within the creation, so, you know, species or different types of materials, kol shekein shechuyev shemashmuze haseda dermilov kashemashach shefaseda bein dvarim einam shetav v'tavlim v'schlal kimishut v'ashem. So certainly, if he's saying, Duran, if things that are within this world, so that they can all be labeled as material, they also come in gradations of the very refined to the very coarse, and they don't easily, they can't mix unless you have steps in the middle way. So a very fine thread of silk is going to need a larger silk rope or cord, and then that cord can be put onto something metal, and then the metal can be attached to the concrete. You need to have 2, 3, 4, 5 steps in the middle. Certainly things that are off the chart, they're not even material. So it therefore makes a lot of sense that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us prophecy, we needed many steps to act as the chain to take us there. So anyone that would try to understand it directly, it would be something stranger than looking at the sun directly. So it says just like touching the sun would not be a positive experience, And you need to have, you need to bring the sun down to a level of heat and light that's compatible with us. Certainly, ruchnius. So to think that we could possibly understand the Likus without it is incredible. Let's give a mashal, and so we understand it a little bit. We cannot see electricity coursing through a wire. It's something that the electric wave, if you want to call it, or whatever, just is of a nature something has no shining stuff. If you have a trillion volts of stuff going through the wire, you're not going to see it. What you can do is you can put a machine on it that translates the current flow into beeps, into ups and downs on a graph, waves and so on a oscilloscope of some sort, and that we can see. But that also, you have to be trained somewhat. You can't just seeing the ups and downs unless you understand what it represents is not going to be enough. So for me to see quote unquote electricity, I need a step from the electricity to move towards the more physical, so that I can make out lines, squiggles, beeps and burps and stuff like that. And I need my understanding of things to become a little more abstract, and not just things that I physically see, but I can understand the waves on the scope representing ups and downs of the current or whatever. So in Ruchnis, it's certainly going to be like that. We need, for Kadosh Baruch to communicate with us, means there's going to be a point of interaction. It requires a Kadosh Baruch to downstep his Hashpah into a more material matter. It requires me to move up a notch to the hair of that. Emes omnom shekoma shatiya mailas yeshak doyla lechtarach liribah emtsayim. So obviously the greater person is, the less steps you need. B'choma shetiktam alasay, and the lesser of a stature person is, you're going to need to have many, many bits in between. Many mashalim, and mashalim to the mashalim, and so on. Zeh shon shon shabein ha-shon pashadu v'oma. V'atikrivun v'atam tatsahar, v'har boyer v'eish ad lev ha-shamayim, choyshech onar v'arafon. So, what does it mean exactly? It says you came to the har, good. The har was burning with fire. That we understand. What's the choshech on a narofel? And this is a terminology that the Kabbalah Sfarim describe a lot. Choshech on a narofel describe three negative elements. Negative in the sense, if enlightenment is positive, then darkness, clouds, and mist, or fog, are negative. So he says, those three words are telling us, because of the extraordinary amount of divine shefa that came on us, that so much divine hashpa, it required many layers to sort of bring it down to where we could see it. Just like the sun, we need a lot of filters. You can't look at the sun. You need sunglasses and thick sunglasses and clouds and so on. Zeh ma shepirat pa machoshech onan v'arafel. V'chol zahech pol meira al gasas ha'mitzayin. So all these three things teach us about the thickness of the things that are in the middle. V'chol zeh omni yitzapah hu yisrael levishol meisha. So the ones who needed that was Kal Yisrael. Even though there was an Amud Anan, So you see, Moshe also needed this Amud Anan. He says, Omnam Gam Kishnei Moshe Kane. It's not so coarse and thick like that. So let's just give a marshal and we'll understand in a second. If, let's say, I have to speak to people that are simple people, coarse people, not very, people whose minds are not terribly refined. And I'm trying to tell them some very deep concepts relating to very spiritual matters. What I need to do is to dress it up in a mashal. And that's the point of a mashal. So a mashal is the means of where I take something, make it into something that I can, that the other person can relate to in his world. So I'm taking an idea, let's go back again. The electromagnetic wave is dressed up in squiggles going up and down, and that gives me a sense of it, because in my world, squiggles going up and down already has meaning. When I speak about the variations of current, seeing squiggles up and down are meaningful to me. And then he goes on to say, the more coarse I am, so maybe it's not enough to have just a squiggle going up and down, because I'm a very thick-headed person. I'd rather would have, for instance, it's very red hot, hot red going down to like a cooler blue or something like that, so I get that sense. Or I can have little pictures around the top, like you can see the whole house lit up, and at the bottom you see a little flashlight, and that gives me a sense of more or less. Depending on how coarse my understanding is, that's how much I'm going to have to bring it down to more physical sense. So he says, but Moshe Rabbeinu said needed a slight thing, but generally speaking, did not need more than that. וזהו אצלי פירוש המקרא שאמר ויאמר שם משה הנה אני חבר אליך באב הענן וישמע עם דברי ודברי עמך וקמך ימין הלילה. So now I'm going to explain the pasuk. ופירוש לכך הוא שהשם יזרח היקמסנף על משה. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sort of apologizing to Moshe. She'ibayla b'nevu zu b'nsoy av kol kach. Why is he coming down in such coarse nevu? K'may shayir la b'omer ba'av anan. And he told them, it's not because of you, Moshe, but rather it is because I want Klal Yisrael to hear this talking, and they need to have this thick cloud in the middle. And he explained to him, it's not only that I want them to be part of this Nevuah because sort of a schuss for them, and you know, one a minute. Nimshon was also shu shaminu bololam. They will believe you forever. In other words, if I can arrange, like for a teleconference with me, you, and them, they will realize that when I'm talking and you're talking my name, it's true. So he told Moshe, this is going to be a prophecy that's going to be much less of a madrega than used to, but they're going to, it's the need for it is, I want Klal Yisrael to believe in you, to be in on it. We'll see later at some point about the Rambam, where he says that this is what we believe in Moshe, because we were part of that conversation. Okay, the next piece is in Abarbanel. And Abarbanel speaks over here about different, about the Milus of Nevuah versus what you understand with Seichel. The one can ask, if Torah is Emes, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just let us figure it out with our own minds rather than dumping it us in Nevuah? So he's going to explain. Ha'omdom, lo manasa plos ha'ilo b'yitzimayim lo zilasa. Why do you have all these nisim? Val my ear of Yimzah nisim, what are all this, the koilos of brokim, anon kavid, kol shachazik moid? I mean, they want just sound effects, like to make a real wow splash. And his substance is not pshutim amaram, chachma vidi rama. There must be some depth to it. Va nearly ato bo mashavaya. I think this is pshat. Hine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to them that shei drachim asaga. There are two ways to reach the truth. The first one is to think, analyze, think into, philosophize, Shigel Adam B'Sichah V'Daiter, and people with their own minds will understand the truth. Vashen is the second Ashkacha Nevuas. It's Nevuah. Sheyizakel Adam, just call Adam Mechatz Alimutai, like a person Zaycha Bechatz Alyon, Vashashpil Mechach Masri. Vehine, he says, Haderech Harishna Yuni, the Derech Yuni ain't Sophic. Shimhe Yoshi Matzabosh Lamias. He didn't got to the right. Even though that thinking and coming to realization by my own thought process understanding is great, there's going to be some problems with it. Why? Lefi shim tzubo chilov deyus. There's going to be so many different opinions. Zerim bekov, ve'ilo l'mayin amisha yismoch. And this is, just think a minute, in science, the theories tend to converge on common points. It's because we deal with a very clear set of facts, and we can make an experiment to prove it. And you know, you'll find sharp disagreements, but by and large, disagreements are 1, 2, 3, 4 points. Philosophy, there are no two philosophy books that have the same conclusions. Somewhat similar conclusions in some areas, and varied ones in other areas. Kimnita ha-paltin v'day, so if we follow Plato, v'achav arista v'shchas kodros, Aristotle destroyed it. Yusuf Ali ibn Sinema Farshan, Borei Bechekr ibn Rasha, Shasatis Ubatlam. You know, so everybody has a different opinion. Who are you following? Where's the consensus? You have 1,000 philosophers and 1,000 different approaches. The Lirmos is there. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Meramis. B'maymer Anif HaKoylus Loidiyam Shebemechka Asich Liyur Bakalos Vadeos. He says, when you're talking, you know, all of these kolos were a backdrop for Maimar Sinai. And he says, you're coming from a world of 1,000 kolos. Everyone with his own sheet and his own daya. There is no truth out there because it can't be that anyone has the truth. This everyone's cholik. V'lirmos kota shkocha lohem heivilem abrokim. Lirmos. Sheme yoyshe shishon l'chochom alaksikis armachayshech. He says, even though the lightning flashes, we're trying to explain that also and saying, listen, it's better to be wise and to be a philosopher than to be an idiot. But it's like a lightning flash. It's a very short, in other words, there are insights like that flash up that are worthwhile, but not a consistent light to guide you for life or for eternity. It's like a flash of lightning, which for the second that it lights up, everything's lit up, but then it becomes dark again. That's exactly the way we glimpse truth through this process of our own thought. Sometimes it lights up, sometimes it disappears. One more element. We'll never know more than some bits and pieces. So even the things we know well, like in science, we know a lot, but there's a lot more that we don't know. Kids and cultures of Alachayim, from all living animals, we can describe many properties of the animals, and we can describe, you know, all sorts of physiology and anatomy, but we don't have a bigger picture. The kashar of him, the lirmas and harakas broke what non covered him what. He showed them a thick cloud with a little rain. In other words, the little bit we know is a drizzle, and there's so much that's hidden. And then he brings a fascinating insight in the Rambam. The Rambam Moreh Nevuchim says, "Zilah shenai, v'yaduah mefursin ganki buma." We know that the day of Torah Sinai was a very cloudy day with a little bit of rain at Khan. And he says, like, his point is, what's the Rambam telling us? I mean, the Rambam says, and we know what we know about Har Sinai is the weather was overcast with light drizzle. So what is that telling us? It's not telling us anything. The answer is, it says, the Remez is that before the giving of the Torah, our understanding was a drizzle and out of a thick cloud of ununderstanding. Omnam, but kol shofar yeremez in nevuah as loikis in gasa moshe. The call of a shofar, that was a remez for nevuah. He says, kvakina nevim es hanavi b'shem shofar. Nevim called it a shofar. Kro begaron al pachsich, kashofar and kolech, and so on. Kiloyas Hashem elikim dova kim gilo ser avaro nevim. Harei shekol shofar utor levuah emes. So he says, so the blow of the shofar, that is a metaphor for real nevuah. And it should be shofar l'fishim in yofi. The word shofar means yofi. V'zbonen, he says, think into it a minute. Shekolos subrakam lezachol lashon chozik b'shem makom. In kol subrakam, don't say it was strong. Al kol shofar imetamit chozak moid. Lefi shasaga nevuah zi chazaka keim b'chol shos asfar zasvekas. Kol nevuah is very strong, very powerful. No svekas, nothing. So, and then he says, and that's why you see the Herda Sa'am, people trembled only with the Shefa. So Ramanel makes two points. Philosophy, by its nature, can never, ever tell us the truth. First of all, we always know some elements. The greatest philosophers only could tell us some truths, but the bigger picture is always, always unknown. Even l'shitasa, even from their own point of view. And besides the fact, we have a tremendous cacophony of so many opposing kolos, a person has no way of knowing what's right, what's not right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give us through nevuah and tell us from an outside source, himself, had to tell us this and this is right, this and this is true, and therefore we had something which gave us a real firm guide for everything else. So I guess in Maimar HaSinai points out the reason why revelation is superior to self-discovery. When we discover things, we discover a little bit, and we're never sure if we're right or wrong. And we have so many contradicting approaches that the person's never ever clear that he's right. With the Torah given, we have clear marker that is rooted in the bottom of it, and we know where to go from there. Okay.